The Copacabana Hotel in Manhattan is said to be an excellent place to enjoy salsa. This week it was also a place to enjoy a discussion about the past, present, and future of blogging, as more than 300 people gathered at the BlogOn 2005 conference. One of the ways that you can tell if a new internet technology is going to be successful is to look for skepticism. When people begin to say, the hype exceeds the reality, it means we are on the way toward the reality exceeding the hype. I am not referring to new business models that are going to make water run uphill or solve problems that aren't really problems, but rather fundamental technologies such as the internet itself, the web, Java, Linux, Wi-Fi, and others. All of those were discounted in the early days. Blogging has now entered that phase where it is in the category of a fundamental technology, one that is enormously profound and is altering how information is documented, distributed, syndicated, and archived. As with all fundamental technologies, there are a lot of myths in the early stages. For example, the internet is free, or the web is just for documents, not for applications. Add to this list that blogging is a vanity tool for people who write about themselves or their hobbies. Sure, there are many personal blogs. Someone may write a blog that is only read by the blogger's mom. That's okay. A volunteer parent on a school trip may write a daily posting for the other parents to read. Pundits may write a column that is read by a very large number of people. All of these take advantage of the diary aspect of blogging. But there is much more to blogging than people writing their personal accounts or views. Blogging is a very effective way for departments of companies to stay on top of what is going on. We all know that special person in the department who always knows who is working on what. That special person is now blogging and providing the departmental news column. It is not a task that can be assigned to someone. It is a task sought out and enjoyed by that special person who just loves to communicate, loves to write, takes the extra time to add useful links to what he or she writes, and is a very effective communicator. Similar persons will arise for customer support, providing valuable insight to customers and business partners. In every walk of life, the authors among us arise to share their skill with others. The old saying, I could write a book, is true. Millions of people have a book in them, but prior to the power of blogging, they had no practical way to publish. And blogging is not just about writing a point of view. How about warranty expiration notices, product recalls, press releases, weather updates, shipment notices, doctor appointment reminders, auction completions, and even wine harvest notices? Blogging is not limited to traditional documents or notices. For example, a patient on a hospital gurney moving from the ER to the recovery room can generate important information as the patient is wheeled through the doorways to the hospital. An RFID tag could trigger a short posting which gets delivered to the primary care physician's patient folder. A periodic glance at the doctor's blog reader would indicate whether there are any new postings advising of patients' whereabouts. The bottom line is that it will become very hard to justify publishing any kind of information in anything other than a blogging format. So what is this blogging format? The dominant format for blogging is called RSS, Really Simple Syndication. Some may argue that ATOM is going to supersede RSS. Some like to call them protocols instead of formats. The more important thing is, what do RSS and ATOM enable? And the answer is context. Formats sometimes turn into philosophical battles, and in the end it doesn't matter what we call them. What does matter is what they become and how widely adopted they become through a standards process. The web has billions of pages, and most of them have nice layouts, colors, and fonts, but most of them do not have context. Another way to say it is that most web pages have tags that describe what the page looks like. Blog web pages have formatting tags, but also have tags that describe what the page is about. In their simplest form, blogs have 5 tags: date, author, subject, category or categories, and the content itself. These simple tags allow the content to be found, organized, categorized, archived, and syndicated. Syndication is a fancy word, and it is a hallmark of blogs. There are some sophisticated definitions of syndication, but the significance and subtlety for most of us is that it provides a way to subscribe to something without providing your email address. Every blog has a feed. I call the feeds web talks because, in effect, a feed is a web log table of contents. The web talk contains the date, author, subject, categories, and content of the stories that the blogger has written. The blogger decides whether the categories and content of the stories should be included for the last week, the last month, the last 50, or whatever. Websites where blogs reside normally contain an orange icon, that little orange XML rectangle. And when you click on it, it takes you to the web talk for that blog, and you can then paste the URL or the address of that web talk into your blog reader. Many people call these blog readers aggregators. That's the technical term, but I prefer to just call it a blog reader. Blog readers can automatically ask you if you want to subscribe to a blog when you click on that orange XML. The blog reader I use is built right into the Opera browser, and it's very simple to use. The default is that it will check on the blogs that you want to follow every 3 hours. You can change it, however, to once a week or every 5 minutes. This means you are pulling content from the blog as opposed to email newsletters, which are pushing content to you. Email newsletters, they're a thing of the past. Most of us are looking for quality, not quantity, when it comes to content. With blogs, you can set up folders to automatically receive content from those bloggers and publishers that you care about. There are many sites, such as Technorati, that specialize in cataloging blogs and showing how many people are reading them. Over time, I expect to see very sophisticated metrics emerge about the credibility of bloggers. Beyond what eBay does to provide multiple star ratings for buyers and sellers, but rather something that directly addresses the credibility of the blogger. In the meantime, it is mostly word of mouth or email that enables us to learn about really good blogs from our friends. One of the things a speaker at the Blog On conference pointed out was that many people regularly read blogs but don't realize it because frequently the blogs are integrated into a website, just like here at Patrick Webb. One question I get a lot is, where do we get time for blogs, either to write them or read them? Think of blogs as a new channel. There are only 24 hours in a day, so when a new channel appears, it has to take away from some other channel. Email reduced the amount of paper documents we receive. Instant messaging reduced the number of emails, relatively speaking. And blogs will reduce the number of email newsletters for sure, journals, and notices of various kinds. Over time, more and more of the things you read will be in one of your blog folders, not in your inbox where there is a good chance you will either overlook it or your spam filter will delete it. Instead of sifting through a large number of emails, most of which you don't really want, you will be able to go directly to folders in a blog reader and enjoy the things you do want. Blogging gives power to the people, both the publisher and the consumer. As traditional advertising becomes more offensive and less effective, more advertising will find its way into blogs. As more than one speaker at Blog On pointed out, when you Google something, for example, say motorcycle, it doesn't necessarily mean you want to buy a motorcycle. You may want to find out how to replace a leaking gasoline hose on your motorcycle, as I did this past weekend. And what you really want to find are some knowledgeable bloggers who can tell you how to fix your problem. In some cases like this, when you find a blog page with information on it that you are looking for, you may also find an advertisement for Harley-Davidson motorcycles on that same page. But if you find what you're looking for, you probably won't consider that advertising to be obtrusive. There were speakers and technologies at the Blog On conference to help bloggers, and especially corporate bloggers, integrate their blogging activities with their marketing activities. In the corporate world, sophisticated tools are emerging, such as Symphony's Orchestra, which can analyze who is saying what, about what, and when, and slice and dice the information and produce a clear picture of what is going on. Such tools can enable a company to find out what their enthusiasts and their key influencers are saying. Another exhibitor at BlogOn showed a blog reader called BlogBridge. BlogBridge is a tool for information junkies. It enables professionals such as analysts, journalists, salespeople, researchers, writers, public relations specialists, etc., to organize, sort through, skim, and discover content in a dozen or even hundreds of blog feeds. I found it to be a very useful tool. And it also works on the Mac, Linux, and Windows. Last but not least are the multimedia dimensions of blogging. Podcasting is booming without a doubt. And video blogging or video casting is already beyond the early stage and growing rapidly. There is no doubt that the new iPod will make it even more popular. The key for any form of podcasting is the tools. And we are at the same stage with multimedia blogging as we were with the web page development tools back in 1994. I don't know how many disc jockeys and news anchors there are in the world, thousands for sure, maybe hundreds of thousands, but I am certain that there will be millions of podcasters as the tools become simpler and more ubiquitous. John Furrier is an example of a new breed of talk show hosts. After getting his education at Northeastern University and Babson College, both in the Boston area, John began a career in the technology field. He held senior positions at Real Names and at several other startups, and then moved to Palo Alto, where he started BroadDev, a company which specializes in internet and communications technology. His consulting work focuses on blog and podcasting areas. But after being interviewed by John or listening to one of his podcasts, you can tell that being behind the microphone is his real passion. John has mastered the process of identifying interesting people to interview, setting a mini studio up in a hotel lobby, putting enthusiasm into his interviews, keeping them short and interesting, and organizing and promoting his content online. John's InfoTalk podcast, presented by PodTech.net, is gaining in popularity in the technology industry and likely will become a sustainable, advertising-supported business. Podcasters will emerge to create InfoTalk podcasts about many subjects: baseball, fly fishing, sewing, running, geocaching, stamp collecting, how to do your taxes, political commentary, and every subject imaginable, and probably some unimaginable. My dream is for podcasting to take off in the K-12 educational world. Imagine Mrs. Smith recording her summary of the day's activities in the classroom, prescribing for tonight's homework, and previewing tomorrow's class, and then the students listening to it on the school bus with their MP3 players. Even better, imagine Mr. Jones, another teacher, hearing kids in the hall talking about how cool Mrs. Smith's podcasts are, and then going home that night to Google his way around the web, learning how to become a podcaster. Is blogging the last straw which drowns us in information and overwhelms our daily lives? To the contrary, blogging may be the greatest new information channel yet to arise from the internet. For the blogger or information creator, blogging creates and facilitates a powerful new way to build context into rich content, which can easily be organized, searched, syndicated, and archived. For the reader or the consumer of the content, blogging is a powerful new way to subscribe to the content we care about and stay abreast of the latest thinking of those we respect. Well, I hope you enjoyed this short podcast about BlogOn 2005 in New York City. I enjoyed being there and sharing this point of view with you. You can find the story in text, of course, at patrickwebb.com/blogon.